And I've heard the steps called tools. We have things like the tools, like the steps. Steps are not tools. Steps are our program. And in my opinion, they go in order for a reason. I don't pull out and do a seventh step before I do a sixth. I can't really do a fifth before I do a fourth. Whenever I have a crisis in my life, I'm looking to the steps. And at the moment, my life has been like, not, I can't say a series of crises, but I had some trepidation coming here because I feel like I am not an example of how it can be at all at the moment because I'm so unsettled in my life. In November of last year, I went to Peru for almost 3 weeks. And when I came back, I was different. And I didn't fit into my life anymore. I didn't realize how small I was making myself, how I was containing my own demands and my own desires in order to fit within my marriage and my family. And even though we had been in marriage counseling for over 9 years, we weren't making progress the way I would like to see us make, to have seen us make progress. And so I'd been back a few weeks when I approached my husband and said, I need us to be making some progress toward these goals that we've been talking about now for almost 5 years. And I don't want to keep going in and hearing how we're going to do this and then going home and having it be the same. I'm willing to resume, because I had quit in July. This was December. I'm willing to resume, but only if we have agreed upon goals that we both sign off on, that we have timelines for progress, that we have accountability, expectations, and communication. And he said, okay, I'll move out. So he did. And my primary sense was relief. It's like, I don't want to make myself so little that I have no demands on the world. I want to live my life fully. And so I was disappointed and relieved. Our divorce was final on Tuesday of this week. Yeah, quick. Quick and as painless as it can get. And that, for me, when you were talking, you showed me the ripple effect, the logo of this retreat. It just gave me shivers because that's the way my whole life feels right now. And I'll give you a few more examples from my recent experiences. With my now ex-husband, our divorce was the result of me working this program. It was not caused by me working this program, but the manner in which we did it was me working this program. So that we got along the entire time. We were respectful the entire time. We're still friends. I use his conference room to meet with clients. We filed jointly for divorce on our 24th wedding anniversary in June by agreement. It breaks my heart, and I'm relieved because I want to go live. I want to do what my priorities are, which include things like backpacking. He would never do. His idea of roughing it is Super 8. So just different levels of tolerance for inconvenience. So one of the ripple effects of the program for us was every time we would come up to a difficult question that we needed to deal with each other on figuring out how this is going to look, I would approach him. I would say a prayer, and I'd approach him. Can you talk now? And he would sometimes say, I can't do this right now. And I'd say, okay. Do you want me to wait, or do you want me to come back? Do you want to do this tomorrow? How would you like to do it? And he would say whatever time period he needed to prepare for this conversation, and I would come back at that time. And so I wasn't just plowing into his office, which I'm perfectly capable of doing, and demanding, I need this, I need 5 minutes of your time, blah, blah, blah. It's like, let's do this so that you're comfortable and I'm comfortable and we can have these conversations. And we worked through everything beautifully. I want to say, if I had known then what I know now about how beautifully we could do this process, I would have done it sooner. But the reality is, it probably wouldn't have been like this sooner. I needed to be where I am now to hold the space for us to do this the way we did it. And that didn't happen till now. Part of where I am now my most recent very significant leap in OA was I volunteered to be the delegate for our intergroup for the World Service Business Conference in 2013. So I went to the World Service Business Conference, and if you haven't gone, find a way to go. Oh my gosh, that was really, really humbling and amazing. Talk about honest people. Talk about recovery. You're in a room with 300 recovering compulsive overeaters, each of whom have 2 years abstinence, at least. And they're all supposed to be at a normal body weight. Wow. And I watched woman after woman walk up to that podium, and I'd think to myself, that poor sweet thing, she's really struggled with anorexia. And then she'd get up and say something like, hi, my name is whatever. I've released 135 pounds in program. When I started 38 years ago, I weighed, and they have these big buttons with their pictures on it. Oh, holy cow, really? I didn't know. I mean, we didn't go all the way to the low weight. My goal when I came into program was to be a size 12. 12 is good. I mean, it's, you know, like that's my sister's definition, my two little younger sisters' definition of not fat anymore is you're 12. Of course, they don't wear 12, they wear less than 12, but that was their definition for me. When you're a 12, you're not fat anymore. But then that's my goal. I'm going to be a 12. And since at the World Service Business Conference, my food changed. I didn't plan it. I didn't talk to anybody about it. But suddenly, oatmeal for breakfast went away. I have vegetables for breakfast. I didn't know you could do that. Never crossed my mind before I did it. It's like, oh, that's weird. But it's not difficult to do. You go into a restaurant, they say they can't do that. I said, okay, I want a vegetarian omelet. Hold the eggs. Hold the cheese. And then I want one scrambled egg on the side. They're like, I guess we can do that. You can charge me anything you want. I don't care. Because I need my food. So sometimes breakfast is surprisingly cheap, and sometimes it's surprisingly expensive, but it's always the same thing. So, and you know, give me more of those vegetables. I want two omelets worth. Because vegetables, for me, are my friends. They keep me from overeating other things. And one of the things that I believe is if I'm eating enough vegetables, the other food amounts will fall into place, just naturally. So kind of a focus on step one is honesty. The principle behind step one is honesty. And for me, going to the World Service Business Conference called me in on honesty in a whole new level. I was surprised to learn that I was vain. I really didn't think I was vain. I don't care what other people think. Ha, lie. I do care what people think. But I thought I didn't. And so here I am at the World Service Business Conference watching these women who didn't get down to a size 12. They got to an 8 or a 6 or a 4. That was outside of the scope of my concept. There weren't that many people that I knew who did that, who didn't come in anorexic already. Or bulimic, or exercise bulimic. So it was like, huh, that kind of shifts my thinking and my own expectations of what I can do and what all of us can do. Another piece of that was I had done some volunteer legal work for the local intergroups in Albuquerque. And so one of their members picked me up at the airport and took me to the assembly and convention so I didn't have to take the shuttle bus as a thank you. She also took me all around. We had a ball. And when I met her, I was kind of surprised because she was one of those people who was so thin that her face looked a little bit skeletal, like very, very thin. And I thought, would I be willing to lose the rest of my weight if it made me look different? My face looked that different. I thought, huh, I'm vain. I had no idea. Shoot, I don't like this. And what I realized then was I have these little lines that form on my face, diagonally down from the corner of my eye down towards my cheek, that happen when I lose just a little more weight than what I had then. And I wasn't willing to put up with those lines. I wasn't. This is my justification for staying right where I am. I was 179 and 3/4 pounds because anything below 180 was my goal. I was good. And I very happily there, felt pretty good. I was in a 10 or a 12 pant, so I was within my goal that way. And after I left the World Service Business Conference, my food changed, as I said. And very gradually, over the next year and 3 months, actually, that was the weirdest part. The first 3 months after my food changed, I gained 5 pounds. And I never deviated from my food plan, not a morsel. So I gained, I weigh every 3 months. So I weighed in June, after April, at the end of June, and I thought, how can you gain 5 pounds doing what I'm doing? It's like impossible. And then it was like, oh, you know what? You've heard before that stress can cause weight gain, even if your food's in order. Huh. Well, I know, and this is the first time in my life that I knew that it wasn't the food, because I'd never been this honest before about food. And so that was when things needed to start changing in my life, and things did start changing, and I planned my trip to Peru, stopped the marriage counseling that was driving me crazy. And so then gradually from June to now, I released an additional 25 pounds. But I don't have a goal now. I can wear a size 6 pants, which is way less than I ever intended to get to. And it's kind of weird. In May, I went to Ireland with my 3 sisters, my mom, and one of my brothers-in-law. And that was ripple effect, too, from my program. And I didn't see it right away. In Ireland, you drive on the wrong side of the road, on the wrong side of the car. And you drive a stick shift, and you shift with your left hand. So I had volunteered to be one of the drivers, because I'm always in charge. I have control issues. One of the best ways to exercise control issues is to just volunteer to do all the stuff that's important. So I had volunteered to be a driver. And for the first time in my life, as we're approaching the rental car place, I'm thinking, what if you can't do this? What if you need to not be one of the drivers? Huh. Maybe I can't. Maybe I need to not be one of the drivers. I'd never given myself permission not to do it before. So I got to the rental car place, and I sat in the front seat of the car, the driver's seat, and I said to my mom and my 2 younger sisters who were sharing a car with me, I'm just going to meditate here until I'm comfortable. They said, oh, take all the time you want. So I did. I have no idea how long that was. Might have been 30 seconds, might have been 3 minutes, might have been 5, but it wasn't hugely long. But until I really felt like I had collected all of my energy and I was centered and I was here. And I said, now I'm going to orient myself to the car. I'm going to figure out how to open the gas tank. I'm going to figure out where the windshield wipers are because we're in Ireland. I'm going to need those. I'm going to figure out how to shift with my left hand. And so I just oriented myself to the car until I felt comfortable. And then I began to talk to myself. Okay, so now, Trish, we're going to go drive. We're going to go up to the mouth of the driveway, and you need to be on the left-hand side. So let's stay to the left, and then we're going to make a right turn, and you're going to have to turn into the far lane to get it right. Otherwise, you might kill everybody in the car. Nothing serious. So I'm talking to myself as I'm creeping up the driveway, up to the parking lot, to the mouth of the driveway, and I'm like, yay, I did it. I'm on the left-hand side. Whew, success. And I'm looking, and my sisters and my mom are like, yay, you did it. So we get to the mouth of the driveway, and I'm looking, and it's really disorienting. The cars are coming on the wrong side of the road at you. It's really hard to tell and judge. And it was like, okay, my sister Chris is in the front seat. I said, I'm just going to sit here until there are no cars coming. She said, good idea. So, and then I'm saying, and remember, go into the far lane. When you turn right, you have to go to the far lane. And Diana in the back says, wide right. I'm like, oh, thanks, Nanny. That's great. I appreciate it. So we look until I said, Chris, do you see cars? She said, nope. I said, okay, me either. So then I'm like, here we go. And I pull into the wide right, and we got started. And we were on our way down the road in Dublin. Like, yes, we did it. And we all had this little celebration in the car. And we stayed with that kind of appreciation, cooperation, joy, support, the entire 7 days we drove all over Ireland. And we kept talking about it. This is really weird. This is not the way we grew up. If you have a stressful situation in a car, it's not joyful in the house I grew up in. But it was in Ireland. And we just kept talking about how this is so lovely. We savored it and appreciated it. And on our way home, we were in Boston, and Chris and Diana, my 2 younger sisters, were going to Seattle, and Mom and I were going to Portland. And Chris and Diana came to me and they said, we want you to know that the reason the car was so different was because of you. I said, really? What do you mean? And they said, well, when you got in the driver's seat, you didn't yell at anybody, you didn't tell everybody to shut up, you didn't swear at anybody. And I was like, oh, were you guys nervous about traveling with me? And they're like, very. I'm like, oh my gosh, it didn't even cross my mind to be like that. And that was exactly the way I used to be. It was just wonderful to see and awful to see at the same time. Kind of that charge, that description of how I used to be by what I wasn't now. But that's the ripple effect of program. You know, I do my work, and then they get the benefit if they allow it. They could have encouraged me to be awful, but instead they're like, yeah, take all the time you want to meditate. It's kind of weird. They didn't say that. They're like, take all the time you want to meditate. They might have thought, Trish is meditating, huh? But it didn't strike me as odd because that's one of my steps, the 11th step. I need to meditate. That makes everything else work. Let me just check time real quick. Okay. So enough talk about who I am and where I came from. That will be woven in as we go. Step one, let's read the steps. Does somebody, can you read them for me, Donna?
Yes, I can. Step one, we admit that we are powerless over food and that our life has become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all His defects of character. Step 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Donna. So I guess I'd like to talk a little bit about the first three steps, and then my approach to retreats is sit down and shut up, because there is so much more experience in the room than what I have to offer. Even if you've been in program for a day, you have something to share about the steps and your process of how you got here. So I would love to open the floor, so be prepared for that. So we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. There was absolutely no question in my life that I was powerless over food. It's that life become unmanageable, I wasn't quite as convinced about. Because, you know, I managed it pretty well. You can ask my ex-husband. and in truth, he relied on me for that. He wanted me to be making everything manageable. And that worked for me. I wanted to do it too, until it didn't. So, to be honest, step one is all about honesty, looking at life honestly. In my opinion, in my experience, when I'm doing step one, it is painful. Whether I'm there for the first time or there for the 48th time in the last 24 hours, step one is painful. It's a reality of looking at things, taking off the rose-colored glasses and looking at life and being honest with myself. And if I don't do step one consistently and honestly, I will eat. I don't have any other tool to deal with it. I have to do my steps or eat. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Whenever I'm struggling with, like when I became willing, when I became aware that I was afraid to lose weight, what I realized as I approached the steps was I need to work harder on step two. I need to do step two work because my God is not big enough to keep me safe while I lose weight. So God needs to be adjusted in my perspective because I don't trust God, however you define God, to take care of me and have me feel safe and secure and lose weight. My weight is a defense, and when I'm undefended or I rely on God for defense, I'm in great shape, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. When I try to be in charge, I will plump right up to make myself feel safe. So for that, for me, that was a step two issue. I needed to revisit my definition of a higher power to make my higher power big enough or fierce enough or gentle enough, loving enough to help me be able to relax into losing weight. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Now, I love the little, you know, if there are three birds on a branch and one of them decides to fly away, how many birds are there on the branch? Three. Deciding doesn't do it. So what I have done as my implementation of step three is in the morning, I get on my knees and I say, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That includes, and I name everybody I live with, and everybody I work with, and everybody I sponsor, and the people who sponsor me, and my new friends in my life. I list everybody I can think of. And I list people that come up for years that I've never seen, I haven't seen in years. I had a painful experience in law school with a woman, and she comes up with her all the time. When I was in middle school, there was a car accident that killed 5 teenagers. One lived. I pray for her all the time. She comes up. And, okay, I don't feel sorry for her. I don't feel responsible for her. But she comes up, and I commend her to my higher power, her higher power. Then I say, I make a decision to turn my will and my life over to you. I turn my life and my will over to you right now, for today, holding nothing back. And that's things I've drawn from program. And for me, I say it out loud because it's part of my reminder that this is important for me to not be in charge. Nobody's good when I'm in charge. But if I can allow life to happen and I remember who's in charge and I follow the impulses, the little reminders I get, the nudges I get, then things are wonderful for me and for people around me. Ripple effect. So, for me, step three, beyond a decision, is acting on that decision, into action. This program's about action. It's about each of us taking the actions we need to do to be as healthy as we can be. And the difference for me between OA and a diet club is the steps and the fact that we learn from each other how to live life without extra food. I mean, living life is not easy. Life on life's terms, it's daunting. And it's possible with each other, with the steps, with the tools.